The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Outside is frightful, except in Australia where Shane Beamon is. It's pretty damn cold here in New York City where I am, and my name is Jason Block. I am not Nikki Heyman here on the NAWC as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. Nikki is out gallivanting and actually socializing, which is kind of weird being a Heyman and all that. But I have a pretty full table starting with the man who counts the votes and will be doing it for the last time in 2017 this year, Stat Boy, Josh Henniger.
Hello, everyone. I somehow have gotten out of Walmart's icy grasp to make it here tonight.
You actually sound okay.
Well, that's because I did things and stuff that I wasn't supposed to this week, but yeah.
Oh, good. Speaking of stuff you shouldn't do, which is swing chairs within a 50-foot radius of the chair-swinging freak, Mr. Brian Henniger.
And I am as much of a chair-swinging freak, I actually bought a folding chair ornament for the Christmas tree. Some of you have seen it. It is, yes, WWE is selling a set of three ornaments called tables, ladders, and chairs ornaments. One of them is shaped like a steel folding chair. One is shaped like a ladder, and one is a table that you can actually break in half. Yes, of course I bought them. They're all on the tree right now. Dear God, I am such a nerd.
Yes, but you want to know something? You are sort of nerd.
And isn't that close enough?
That is definitely close enough. And speaking of nerds, the weather outside isn't frightful where you are. It's balls hot, right, Shane?
So anyways, Jason wants to tell people that Nikki's out socializing when she's actually locked up in the basement downstairs. But, oh, sorry, are we on? Sorry. Yes, no, it is hot.
I did not lock Nikki in the basement. This is not another attempt to take over the show. Trust me on this one. Especially when I have to start off with really bizarre news, which came across the wire, what was it, early Sunday morning. Rich Swann, who was about to get
possible cruiserweight championship run.
Right. And was supposed to fight Drew Gulak this Monday night on Raw, was arrested for domestic violence against his new wife after an independent wrestling show.
And his new wife actually has had past history with the WWE.
Oh,
she was in Florida Championship Wrestling. This is Sue Young you're talking about.
Oh,
who
wow.
Was dating for a hot moment Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh boy.
This was like 10 years ago, right as she was starting in the in the wrestling business. So yeah, she was in Memphis at the very beginning. Yeah.
Well, here's what happened. He was arrested for false imprisonment, kidnapping, and misdemeanor battery stemming from an incident this last weekend at an independent show, I believe, in Florida. Yes. He was released under, and his real wife's name is Venara Riggs. He was released on his own cognizance. And what happened is that immediately, and first of all, I'll ask you, Josh, first. Do you think the WWE handled this correctly? Because I think they did.
They did, absolutely. Because, to be honest, as they've met, I think they rewrote the rules about a year or two ago. When it comes to domestic violence, yeah, no, or minimal tolerance is allowed. And by minimal, I mean they get suspended immediately, and then if it's found guilty, bye-bye.
Brian, I'll ask you. They did the right thing, right?
I think they did. And the fact of the matter is, they're in a position right now where there's contracts involved, so they can't just immediately cut a guy. But this is one of those things where you have to take action immediately, and they immediately suspended this guy. If he's found guilty, I hope he never wrestles ever again.
Exactly. And Shane, on Monday Night Raw, I think they handled it very classily. They said Rich Swann's opportunity was rescinded. They didn't say why. They just said it was rescinded, and then they had another second chance match with Cedric Alexander. Who were the people involved?
I think it was Cedric Alexander, Noam Dar from memory.
Yeah, Noam Dar is actually going to be out for 5 months. I don't know if you heard about this. He tore his meniscus. Yeah, he's out. Yeah. He is not in a good state of mind, actually. Just checking here who it was. Mustafa Ali, Tony Nese, and Arya Daivari.
Noam Dar was nowhere nearby because he got injured.
And by the way, that was a spectacular match. That was a great match. And Cedric won. And then Cedric will be facing
Gulak.
Gulak to see who faces
Enzo.
Enzo. Who, by the way, we have a story about.
Oh.
Okay. This came out today. And usually we say, I usually don't do a warning, but this is just fucking dumb. You all have a driver's. I'm assuming all of you have a driver's license, right?
I'm assuming all of you do.
And Josh, you have a pretty much normal signature when you sign your driver. Okay. Well, Enzo is trying to fight the state of Delaware. He posted a picture of his driver's license on his Instagram. Now, before I even say it, I'm going to ask you, Josh, what does that signature look like?
That's a penis.
It's a penis. Yeah. He says it's a very unique version of EA, Enzo Amore. Shane, you got to say
bullshit. Absolute bullshit. I don't know, Enzo. Last time I went to school, E and A does not make a penis. Fucking. You couldn't make that. You could say it might be like a squared off ice cream cone, but you can't say it's a fucking penis. Give me a break.
I'd like to ask somebody to give his own unique analysis on this signature, if I may.
Go ahead, Kevin. What do you think?
Well, I'd like to ask Mr. Lewis Linkara Lovehog. Mr. Linkara, what do you think that looks like?
Boner, boning of boner. Erect penis.
Okay. What is that from? Wow.
Atop the fourth wall.
Okay. Very good.
And in case you missed it, boner.
Come on, Enzo. Come on. It's a penis. Just saying.
Now, Enzo Amore will now be coming out with the slogan, I'm a certified Jeed with a bona fide license. How are you doing?
With a bona fide license. So,
hi,
how you doing? We had a lot of first time matches on because we, you know, okay. So now we all love a very good promotion of a match. Now, once we found, well, first of all, the whole Twitter trolling of Kenny Omega led to the match that we're having in about 3 weeks time now as we speak. About
just a little less than 3 weeks.
Right. At Wrestle Kingdom 12, which is Kenny Omega versus the Alpha, Chris Jericho. But, and there's been a couple of videos back and forth. But now, stakes just got raised big time, right, Mr. Henniger?
That would be you. Business has picked up. One of the greatest, I mean, look, it was believable. This was fun. You forgot everything about this being a promotion. I mean, this has been great. First of all, when did Chris Jericho start looking like Mickey Rourke? Did you see his hair?
I ask you, Josh, when did he age 10 years?
In the last 6 months, pretty much, because he looks old. He looks like he's supposed to at 47 years old.
Or maybe he's doing that on purpose, per se.
Possibility, I don't know.
So what happened, when did the attack happen? Tuesday or was it Monday?
The first attack, as in the one that ended up or finishing on the last night of the World Tag League?
Yeah, that was, yes.
Give me a minute, please.
Sure. I'll look too as we talk.
Live research, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, absolutely. Always is. Always is.
Oh, that would be today. That would be December 11th. That would be Monday. In Fukuoka, Japan. Yep. So we had so Kenny Omega and had teamed with the Young Bucks to defeat Roppongi 3.0 and Rocky Romero. We had that new entrance video, or at least the non-WWE version, the one with
Judas playing in the background.
Right. And the sepia tone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone was looking, and then Jericho absolutely fucks Kenny Omega up.
Yeah, and bloodies him for the first time in a New Japan ring. It's the first time anybody got bloodied in there in eons, from what I've understood.
And then also Don Callis also got into it. Okay.
Yeah.
And I watched the video. It was fantastic. It was great. It was spectacularly done. Okay. But then it gets better. Okay. I believe it was the next day or the day after that. Chris Jericho is promoting Wrestle Kingdom 12 when all of a sudden the cleaner decides to clean house and beats the holy hell out of Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cleaner decided to clean Jericho's clock.
And then Jericho went on something that I've never seen go on before, an absolute tirade about how he'll end Kenny Omega's career. I doubt it, but good luck.
And also, he cursed.
Yeah, cursed, he dropped the F-bomb
several times, and then also tore up a poor reporter's book, so to speak.
Now, I have to ask. This is a Jericho I don't think we've ever seen, have we?
Not really.
Shane, do you like this Jericho?
Yeah, I like this Jericho. I haven't seen this Jericho unless it's outside of a ring abusing fans. But other than that, no, I haven't seen this side of Jericho on camera.
Brian, what do you think of the whole promotion of this? In other words, the how they did these two back to back angles to promote the match.
they did it well. I mean, this is how you promote a match. This is how you make a match like this look good. This is how you promote it for the fans. This is a dream match for a lot of people. A lot of people have been wanting to see Omega versus Jericho because Jericho can still go with the right guy. Omega can make almost anyone look good. This is a match. And what I liked about it was how Jericho kind of lampshade hung the line of, this isn't about six stars or how many stars. This is about a fight. I'm like, yes, that's what you want to see.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful stuff. And I love it. I love absolutely really good. This is about as perfect a promotion for it. And we haven't seen anything like this in a while. We really haven't. And I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So we move on pretty much to WWE Week on TV. And Monday night on Raw, and I will get to that in a second, there was a few interesting things that happened there. I just need to pull this up. We had a main event number one contenders match that ended in a double DQ. And I'm wondering where you think, because the main event was going to be Kane versus Braun Strowman to determine who's going to fight Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. And we got nothing. Guys, where's this leading?
Probably a three-way.
Yeah.
Yeah, say it with me now, people. Triple threat.
Yep.
Yep, where Lesnar's going to win over both of them and continue on to Mania to lose to Reigns and then go from there.
Do you think he leaves?
Lesnar, unless, you know, they stop giving him money, no. He'll never leave.
Wow. Okay. Because if it is a triple threat, yeah, that's exactly where we're going with this. So we had the second week of Woken Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt. Do you think they kind of overproduced it a little bit this time?
A little?
Okay.
That's an understatement. It was severely overdone.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but when Matt Hardy laughs like that now, all I hear is kookaburras. I'm like,
all I hear is Elmer Fudd.
but it wasn't bad. Overproduced, hell yes, but it still wasn't a bad promo, especially the part where, like, Matt Hardy makes it seem like that him and Sister Abigail had a relationship. It's like, oh, Jesus.
I just think that they were trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Just let Matt be Matt, and don't try to do, you know, it was too much. I thought it was too much, at least for me. Too much. Absolution still ran roughshod over a lot of the women's division, including Asuka. Okay, but the whole women's locker room came out. Holy crap! Right?
Yeah, it's basically like they've made Absolution like the three-woman version of the Shield, and now the entire locker room has just had enough, and even Alexa Bliss, who's supposed to be a friggin' heel, comes out and helps out. Like, what? Makes no sense, but okay.
Well, it's sort of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend, ? Maybe?
I know, but you had Nia Jax and Asuka in a ring. I mean, those two alone could have taken those three.
Well, yeah, but again, well, Nia's still trying to get the D of, she's trying to take the, you know, she's trying to get the dick of Enzo Amore, and Tony Gulak's trying to slide in like a DM on Twitter.
Wait. She's trying to get the dick?
Yes.
But we've already seen it.
On the license plate, yes.
On his driver's license plate,
yes. Yes.
By the way, hey guys. By the way, guys, y'all know what happens when Enzo Amore takes a Viagra pill?
What's that?
He can't sit down for 4 hours.
Nice.
I thought you were going a completely different direction on that. I thought you were going to say he doesn't become soft for another 4 hours.
So, oh, very good. Yeah. And by the way, you notice that Jason Jordan is not making friends or influencing people, right? He got into Dean Ambrose's way, and he ain't having any of his shit. And you know Dean Ambrose is going to fuck Jason Jordan up next week. You know?
Yeah, but there's this thing with Jason Jordan, it's becoming like the slowest fucking heel turn I've seen in my life. It's like...
It's pretty much turned into secret heel Jason Jordan. You're not wrong. Because he's acting like a freaking brat.
Now let me ask you something. I'm not trying to cut in on you guys, but I'm thinking of something. Do you think we get Jordan versus Angle at some point, like maybe at Mania?
Not at Mania. It's going to be at a much lesser pay per view because Jason Jordan ain't going to be built for it.
It would be Rumble or probably Fastlane.
Fastlane seems about right because their signs kind of point, at least mentally to me, Angle versus Triple H is going to happen at Mania.
And if SmackDown has anything his way, I think somebody may be cleared, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Wait.
Or don't you mean yep, which we'll get into later
on. What do
you
do?
No. No. So with that, just trying to just see some other things here. So we move over to Tuesday on SmackDown. In which case we saw
the return of a huge megastar on SmackDown. I mean, it's possibly the greatest return ever. I mean, the only thing that could top this is Hornswoggle coming back.
Hornswoggle got his ass kicked by Macaulay Culkin. Did you see
that? Oh, my God. Yeah, I saw that, and Hornswoggle got the Home Alone treatment, copped a heavy object to the face and got frog splashed on. Jesus. I was like, what is this bullshittery?
It is definite bullshittery. But you're talking about Colin Delaney, aren't you?
Yeah, it's Colin Delaney. And I don't know who the gentleman was that was teamed up with him, but I
this
thought...
This is current Chicago Grand Champion Juan Francisco de Coronado. He was named Joe Monroe that night.
Just a quick question, though. I thought it was illegal for the men to hit the women in WWE. Because that dude screamed like a little bitch. I mean, that was amazing.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to remember. Was Chuck Taylor one of his trainers? Because if so, it would make complete and utter sense.
I see this guy get lifted 9 feet in the friggin' air. Getting screams like a little bitch on his way down. I'm like, I thought we weren't getting mixed tag team matches until January 19th.
I forgot to put that in. Excuse me. Yes. Why don't we talk about that before we go back into SmackDown? So what happens is that they announced this on Facebook, I believe. This is the mixed match challenge that is going to what happens is that matches are mixed tag and the teams are both male and female and will compete for the chance to win $100,000 for charity. Okay. It's premiering January 16th and on Facebook Watch. It's going to be 20 minutes and it's going to be 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and then 205 Live moves to 10:30. Okay? Now, they have announced the rosters, and I will all put this in here for you. And here we go.
Only thing is, this is my only grievance with it. Kurt Angle needs to learn to count. Because when Daniel Bryan did it, Daniel Bryan had it perfect. Six men, six women. Kurt did six women, eight men. I was like, what the hell?
So the men on Raw are Braun Strowman, Enzo Amore, Finn Balor, Goldust, The Miz, and Samoa Joe.
Okay. And Jason Jordan.
Well, it's been removed, I think.
Yeah, well, you can't do Samoa Joe then, because if you've obviously removed Elias then.
Okay. Well, on the women's side, it's got Alexa Bliss, Alicia Fox, Asuka, Bayley, Nia, and Sasha, of course. Okay.
Yes.
And on the SmackDown side, you've got Becky Lynch, Carmella, Charlotte Flair, Lana, Naomi, and Natalya. And on the men's side, you've got, and this could be a spoiler for Pick'ems, so take it for what it's worth, Bobby Roode, Jimmy Uso, Rusev, Nakamura, Big E, and Sami Zayn. So there's that.
Oh, so Big E's been confirmed to be the guy representing New Day?
Yes, Big E, yeah. According to Wikipedia, so take it for what it's worth. Okay?
Okay.
Now, I have a question for you, and I'll ask Brian first, and then I'll get to you, Josh. What do you think of this? Because this is a little bizarre debate, no?
I don't know why they're doing a Facebook series about this. I mean, I personally wonder why they, I would wonder why they would do it that way. But at the same time, you know, they're doing a mixed tag team matches. That's an old school kind of a concept. I wonder how they're going to do the charity aspect. Like if they're all representing like the same charity, or is each team representing a different charity? I don't know how they're going to do it, but it's something different. And I think it's a neat idea.
Yeah. And I think there's going to be different charities, but all I'm saying to you is that I think Facebook is putting some money into this. I believe. I think there's a money aspect into this.
Most certainly.
To promote the video on this. But yeah, I'm interested to see where they go with this. We also had another beatdown of the invading on the SmackDown side. We had a beatdown of the Riot Squad. Are you sort of, because it seems to me that the creative on each side is the exact same thing. It's a little bizarre to me, no?
No.
I don't like it.
It is bizarre. It's just, I think WWE has kind of ran out of ideas. And if we have seen the ratings as a result, then you know what's going on.
Yeah, how bad are the ratings? Not good?
Oh, dear God. The thing is, I don't know the true final rating, but I remember doing some quick math a few days ago about this, and there it is. The rating hit 1.87. It's the third worst rating of the year, and about top 10 on the worst ratings of all time.
Raw.
Raw hit a 1.87. The only ones worse were a pair of 1.75s during the summertime.
Well, I'm also talking about numbers. Their numbers are 2.68, okay?
Yeah, 2.68 million, and Raw only got 2.81, so... Or no, 2.68. That's right. My brain's just clunking at points.
And I'm looking at it here. It actually looks like the worst rating of the year so far.
Third worst, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because June did 2.5.
Yeah, there were a pair of what the final rating was, 1.75 ratings. One was in June and one was a little bit later on.
Do you think that's a holiday thing, or do you think it's just a creative thing?
it's largely a creative thing, because to be honest, wrestling, especially for 3 hours, yes, I know it's against football, whoop-de-doo, but if the ratings are absolutely getting canned, it's not worth it.
Yeah, wow. But here is the most interesting thing of WWE Week. We actually had a broadcast of NXT on, I believe it was USA, correct? It was on USA.
Yep.
Got about 800,000 viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Shane, I will ask you, do you see NXT either moving from the network to or Sci-Fi or being an additional? Do you see NXT going to broadcast TV or no? Or do you think it was a one-time thing?
I think they've been talking about it. I think they even asked Triple H the same question about the evolution of NXT and what's going to happen next with it. But do I think that they're going to move it from the network? No, I don't think they will, because NXT is basically the only thing that's keeping a lot of people with the network. Like, yeah, they've got some great other great shows and like old school pay per views, but yeah, like NXT is like the main show to watch on the network. So if they move it to another network, I think, yeah, you might see some network subscriptions drop there.
Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they don't want to move it from the network, because right now it's bringing a lot of eyeballs to the network, and they're still trying to make the network a viable concept. They're not going to get rid of their golden goose. I don't see that happening.
Okay, that's cool. But good to see it on, you know, I mean, that's a good stuff. By the way, also speaking of NXT, Drew McIntyre produced a workout video, and some guy named Jinder Mahal is training with him.
We're missing somebody, aren't we?
That's what I was about to say. The only thing that would be more epic than that is like Heath Slater just walking through your door going, "Hey guys."
And Rhino's guarding him saying, "Hey, don't touch him." And while he's eating crackers with Cheese Whiz on it.
But, yeah, it's and then of course, Thursday, we had, of course, the tribute to the troops, which we had a couple of old school people come back for it. Our good friend Lillian Garcia, and the restraining order is still on, sadly. I say jokingly. And JBL came back to do it for a one-off. Good for him. It was nice. Nothing really, you know, it was what it was, right, guys?
I don't know. I was working.
Brian, you saw it, right? Brian?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't get to see it, unfortunately. I was working, and I wasn't able to get to see it.
Oh, okay.
I apologize. It was
good. No, no problem. It was good. It was good. Let's just all go get back to SmackDown for a little bit here. Joe Monroe was the guy who you were talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
And the big thing out of there was that Daniel Bryan is going to be the second special guest referee. There's going to be two. Both Shane and Daniel Bryan are going to be special guest referees.
For the Orton Nakamura versus Owen Zayn. Oh, dear God, I just realized something. No. We'll get there.
Oh, we'll get there, Mr. Hennigan. We will definitely get there. Lots of other little news bites I want to go through. Tonight, as we speak, right as we record this, we are going through ROH Final Battle. Now, did you guys see the new belt for Ring of Honor?
Yes, I think that thing is absolutely gorgeous, and it's tying into that whole concept of, you know, Cody Rhodes making himself the face of Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm. And
I was just gonna say, yeah, Cody Rhodes has definitely made himself the face of Ring of Honor, and if he actually does go through with this event that he's planning for ROH, I hope he gets those 10,000 seats, man, because he's earned it.
What do you mean?
Oh, apparently Cody Rhodes is attempting a little bit of a challenge. Him and I think the Young Bucks.
Hello?
Shane?
Is that happening or not?
Yeah, you kind of cut off there.
Oh, sorry. Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks are looking at venues for ROH to fit 10,000 people.
Not ROH. They're going to do their own thing.
And they're doing their own thing.
They're going down to three places right now. Either Chicago, Los Angeles, or I believe Dublin? Or something like that. It was an English one.
Here it is. It's self-financed 10,000 seat event. That's insane.
Yeah. And to be honest, I think it would become essentially a real supercard of the indies. Which would be absolutely insanity.
Well, the front-runner location would be Chicago, London, San Francisco, and Ontario. And they're looking to partner with Ring of Honor, and it would be spend it now, make more later. If they do this, this could be huge. This could be absolutely huge. Okay. And by the way, I posted a book. The company is called Wildcat Championship Belts. What do you think of that? Isn't that gorgeous? Isn't that beautiful? And you could buy one on your own for $3,150.
And it's a replica of the exact same title.
Not a toy.
Well, not a toy.
It's the real thing.
It could easily be, we'll scrub off the numbers. We need that belt now.
Yeah. That's beautiful, though. If I ever hit the Powerball, I would get something like that. Just for shiggles. That's gorgeous. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's just absolutely okay. I'm sorry here. So we've had a couple of sort of entertainment stuff happen this week. Miz, they released a Chris Miz story, which was kind of funny. The Rock is debuting Jumanji, I believe it is next Christmas time. I think it's called Welcome to the Jungle. He's been doing a ton of promo for that. And with that, he got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I can. Pretty cool.
Rock's had a pretty big week. I mean, yeah, with Jumanji coming out next week, his girlfriend announcing that she's pregnant with their second child. And now with him getting a star on the Walk of Fame, god damn.
Not bad for a guy with $7 in his pocket, right?
Exactly.
And
buying that car off of that crackhead.
$7 times a billion, maybe.
And John Cena has been making the rounds this week, and that's no bull. Or actually, it is.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. He has made a ton of media appearances for
Ferdinand.
Yes.
Which was based on a Warner Brothers cartoon from the late 30s? If my memory serves.
It was a book.
Oh. I swore it was also a cartoon that was created around that point. Ferdinand the Bull. Which is out now.
Right.
Let me see here. I could almost swear. 1940,
97. Yeah, it was a passive movie.
Apparently not.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to see what else we have before Pick'ems here. Oh, yeah, we got some very...
there it is. Found it. It's the original from 38 from Walt Disney Pictures.
Yeah, and we as Jason said, got some unfortunate news regarding a former tough enough winner. Was he a winner or a runner up?
Not sure, but Matt
he was
back
the other winner of Tough Enough 3.
Yeah,
it was him and Johnny or John Hennigan.
Yes,
Morrison, Mundo, Nitro, Blaze, Impact. Good Lord, what hasn't he been named?
Yeah, but his brain cancer is back.
And it is aggressive.
Yeah. And it is not good. We were talking about that thing, the WWE, the thing. It is a partnership with Facebook, per se. A direct partnership with Facebook it's called Facebook Watch. Okay.
Mm.
Okay. Oh, and the Norm Dar injury, he's going to be out till May. He tore his meniscus.
Yeah. So he's definitely missing a Mania paycheck.
Yep. And let's see. Oh, we also have the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame inductees, the Pioneer Division. I'm sorry, the television division has Eddie Graham and Ernie the Cat Ladd. Modern day era is Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Sting. Also, Hiro Matsuda. Ladies division is Tota Rhodes. Tag team division, the Flying Redheads. And the executive division is Red Bastion. Oh, and we also, from a local independent person, Gino Moore passed away this week from cancer. It's a local Northeast guy here.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of Gino Moore.
Yes. Yes. He passed away.
He was the, he was a promoter in the Northeastern area. He promoted in the CWA for a long time. He was, if anyone who may know him now, he was mentioned a lot in Jim Cornette's podcast as quote unquote, the Purple Bomber. And yes. He always claimed to have all these matches, but he only ever had like two or three matches. But he managed for like 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Just also trying to... Oh, and also the live events coordinator, the director and producer, Dave Sahadi, left Impact, by the way.
Oh, that's not
this
good.
This week?
He left, but they got Jimmy Jacobs instead.
Mm. So what do you have on Yamaguchi-san, Josh?
If you guys remember Kai and Tai from the late 90s, Wally Yamaguchi, he's just suffered a stroke this week.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. And, yeah, as you guys know, Kai and Tai was Taka Michinoku, Funaki, Men's Teo. I know I'm forgetting some other guys, but those guys are usually the ones that don't get mentioned much in the WWE version.
It was Taka Michinoku, Funaki, Men's Teo, and Dick Togo.
Dick Togo. Or as I call him, Dick Togo. Sorry. But yeah, Yamaguchi-san is in a bad way right now.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good at all. Just trying to...
Well, I was going to say, speaking of things that might not go... TMZ is reporting apparently Ronda Rousey hasn't signed a deal with WWE. WTF.
I don't buy that for a second. I think there will be a deal announced in one way or the other.
Yeah, mainly because she's just too dang popular to just let go, especially since her best friend, one of her best friends is already there in Shayna Baszler.
Right, and WWE has actually signed a deal to bring actual live programming to South Korea, which is interesting.
I'm shocked they didn't already have it.
Mm. Good, good on them. Carl, if you are there, if you can open the your microphone, because I believe we're ready to go, aren't we? Yeah, thank you, Josh. Appreciate that.
And while we wait for Carl, we forgot one story. Speaking of wrestling getting some huge recognition, the ladies of GLOW getting a big recognition during the end of year awards and the SAG awards too.
Well, yeah, because Entertainment Weekly named GLOW their best television series of 2017. Believe it or not, have you, any of you guys seen it?
I finally got to see some of it. It was really well put together. I mean, they kind of played fast and loose with the history of GLOW. I mean, you've heard this everywhere. It's not a complete retelling of the GLOW history. Like, there's no David McClane, none of the established characters. But I was impressed at how well the wrestling looked and how much and how respectful they were to the wrestling.
Right. I just need to find the best of 2017. I just need to find. Here it is. What Entertainment Weekly said about GLOW, and they were absolutely right about it. It says, women dress like spandex cartoon characters and pretend to fight each other. They barely know how to wrestle. They live in a runty motel, Love on the Valley. Their director is a fading B-cult never was. Their producer is some Malibu millionaire. His robot carries cocaine. The star was on soap opera a while ago. This is just kind of silly, says the star's husband, the kind of blandsome 80s guy every 80s blockbuster was made by, about, and for. He's almost right. It's the silliest, smartest, greatest TV event of the year. Creators Liz LaHive and Carly Mensch went to the TV history for inspiration, returning to the golden age of syndication to conjure up the pop epic for our streaming age. It begins with Alison Brie as Ruth Wilder, a desperate artiste trapped in time when Hollywood was as bad as women as Hollywood still was 32 years later. Nice. Seeking a job, seeking inspiration, she joins up with last chance auteur Sam Sylvia, played by Marc Maron, with rueful whimsy that's positively Bogartish. He's assembling the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, and the wonder of GLOW is how generously it builds its ensemble. We get to know them as people when we see them each build this persona, confronting stereotypes. There's a KKK joke by pushing them to the hyperbolic extreme with the best cast on television. That includes Kia Stevens, folks. It's a hilarious misfit gang romp, half sports movie and half behind the scenes showbiz dramedy. The Bad News She Bears meets Waiting for Guffman. But the GLOW's genius is how the goofy, candy-crazy grandeur of the whole endeavor becomes an empowering triumph. These women are building a community and declaring ownership over themselves. Bree's a wonder. After Mad Men, Community, and BoJack Horseman, this is her fourth TV masterwork and counting. She's matched by walking revelation Betty Gilpin, who plays Ruth's best friend, nemesis, co-star Debbie. It's Debbie, accurately described as Grace Kelly on steroids, who gives voice to GLOW's most sincere and empowering triumph. It's like I'm back in my body, she says. I'm using it for me, and I feel like a goddamn superhero. Like any true work of art, GLOW seemed uncannily tapped into the deep ley lines of 2017 culture. The women's struggle on the outskirts of Hollywood caught the #MeToo drumbeat early. Here's to a whole super team of Wonder Women. And the season climactic wrestling match builds to a symbolic showdown between the U.S. and Russia, a Cold War fantasy gone furiously topical. But like any true work of art, GLOW creates its own specific context. That final U.S.-Russia is a performance by Ruth and Debbie in character as Soviet Empress Zoya the Destroyer and Reaganite heroine Liberty Bell. It climaxes with Debbie climbing to the top rope of the wrestling ring, preparing a final fly moon. The climax is the jump, thrilling as any moment from any sports movie, but I'll never forget Debbie's climb. Her journey to the top rope is invigorating as the sound of a shattering glass ceiling. Rise, Liberty, rise. Who would think, gentlemen, that the story of GLOW would be huge television in 2017?
Not me, but I'm so glad it is.
You know, really phenomenal. I am so proud because we watched it early. You know, my father and I just like binged the 10 episodes, and they are in, as I was about to say, they're in production now, aren't they, for season 2?
Yeah, I believe. That's absolutely right.
And but again, if you have a Netflix card, you must watch it. And they also got nominated for 4 SAG awards, if I am not mistaken, as well. They got nominated. I just need to find the number. Oh, one other interesting piece of news. Here's the SAG awards. Outstanding. It was Alison Brie got nominated. The ensemble and the stunt ensemble. And if the cast wins, that make Keith Steve the first ever professional wrestler to win a SAG award. Who would, you know, that would be insane. There was, put it to you this way, if you live in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, you will never see the WWE, at least for now. Did you hear about this?
I have not.
Scheduled WWE debut at the new Rogers Place on February 9th was canceled after new regulations banning all forms of combat sports were enacted after a June death of a boxer following an Edmonton fight.
And from what I've understood, that boxer should have never been boxing in the first place. He's lost multiple fights via knockout.
And it's a one-year moratorium for December 2018, so I don't think we're going to see the WWE, at least on that swing, at least through until 2019 there. So I think we will start the pick-ems, and Carl will come back in. Is that fair enough? If not, Carl will put it in.
That's fair enough.
Mr. Statboy.
Yes.
What do you got for us?
Quite a bit. In fact, 12 points possible on all these matches. Let me make sure, though, real quick, that there has been no new matches added since I last did this. Oh, come on. Let me do what I want here, system. And there has not. Good.
Seven matches.
If there's any more matches added, too bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That means you, Shane. Anyways.
I'm sorry. Did you say something?
Yes. We won't be adding any extra matches on, so what you see is what you get.
Oh, well.
Let's go to what I would consider the pre-show match. Zack Ryder versus Mojo Rawley. Who wins?
They got to get the heel over here. Rawley will win this, sadly, for now. It's the beginning, not the end.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Mojo must win. And I mean MUST. If you want this feud to have legs at all, he must win this one. Shane, Brian?
Yeah, it'll be Mojo.
I'm the same way. Mojo's got to win.
And then for you, Shane?
Yeah, Mojo.
Okay. And then we head on to the, I believe this is the women's title match.
Yeah,
Charlotte Flair versus Natalya. Yep. Who wins?
It's a lumberjack match, too.
Yes, so, okay.
Because there is involved with that. I would love to. I'll keep the wild card for the main event. Charlotte Flair wins. Charlotte Flair wins, no cash in.
Okay, give me a second. Got it. Once again, you're right on the nose. Flair must win, or Flair's going to win. Natalya doesn't really need it. I mean, Natalya's in a weird stasis because eventually Flair will wind up having to face off against the Riot Squad, whatever that is.
Brian?
I think Charlotte wins this one, and you're right about the Riot Squad, but I think that before that happens, there is going to be a cash-in, but it's not going to happen here.
Shane?
Rumor.
Yep. I mean, these two matches were the easiest to boom for us. I mean, once we get this out to the people, it might change, but who knows. And now, oh boy, we head on to the first of many two-pointers. This is going to be very, very dominating, to be honest. As we have Breezango facing off against the ones they've been destined to face off against, the Bludgeon Brothers. 2 points, who wins, and who stares at the pretty, pretty lights?
Oh, this is, again, this is going to be another boon. Bludgeon Brothers is going to be quick, but it's just a question of who stares. I'll say Tyler Breeze.
Okay.
Yeah, Bludgeon Brothers win with Print Pretty looking up the pretty lights.
You did it.
There you go.
Okay. There's that. Give me a sec. I'm trying to get caught up. Bludgeon Brothers, Breeze. I will be going with the Bludgeon Brothers with Fandango staring. Brian?
I've got to say that it's going to be the Bludgeon Brothers. And again, I think Breeze, I say that Fandango stares at the
pretty light.
Hey, you guys are doing it.
Yeah, I know.
We're helping you save your voice here, buddy. Come on.
Fair enough. All right. The Fatal 4-Way Tag Match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship. As we have the current champions in the Usos facing off against the New Day versus off facing off against the world's iffiest tag team versus Rusev Day and that other guy. 2 points, who wins and which team stares at the pretty, pretty lights?
This one's a little bit more interesting because I think the Usos will retain on this, okay? Because I don't see a title change here, okay? But I'm going to say Usos retain and Aiden English and company stare at the pretty lights. Aiden English and Rusev.
Okay, got it. To be honest, this is going to be the toughest match on the card for me because I don't know who would win of them on these guys. Seriously, I'm going to go ahead and say the Usos here retain, and I will say the world's iffiest tag team will wind up going and lose out. I guess. I don't know.
I'm gonna take a chance here. I might be on Loner Island. But I'm going to say we're gonna have new tag team champions. And it'll be Golden Gable getting the pin on Aiden English.
Rusev English. Oh, wow. Okay.
Ooh. No, it's not exactly left field because I think they're going to do a program with Usos and Gable and Benjamin. So,
all right, Brian.
I think it's going to be the Usos over Rusev Day.
Okay. Got it. Now to the last of the tags. And this one has a very big stipulation.
In fact, oh, you didn't, yeah, okay, yeah, it does. Okay.
Might I be jumping ahead a little? But I know this is probably going to be the main event of the evening, but I keep the belts usually as main events.
That's fair.
At least try to, unless I don't give a damn like Jinder Mahal. But anyways, what I would probably consider the main event of the evening. Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura face off against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Now, this is a normal tag match, but there will be two referees at ringside, or referees, Shane McMahon will be in, and I believe Daniel Bryan will also be in, and ooh, dearie. If Owens and Zayn lose, they're gone. Fired. Out of a cannon, into the sun, never to be seen again. 2 points, who wins, and who stares at the pretty, pretty lights? Wild card.
All right, Josh, you first. Yes, and wild card too.
Yeah. I got one too.
And I think we're all going the same route. At least some of us are going the same route here. Owens and Zayn will win. Randy Orton will wind up getting pinned because you know how a certain guy has been acting kind of heel-y since he ever became or came to SmackDown? It's going to blossom in full. Secret heel Daniel Bryan becomes full heel Daniel Bryan.
Thanks.
And screws over Shane O'Mac and Orton. And yeah, Orton gets to stare.
Copy paste direct. You read my mind.
Give me a minute. I've got to get everything kind of squared.
Sorry.
Whee! So you're picking Orton to stare at the pretty lights as well?
Yeah, they have to, yes.
Otherwise, why was Shinsuke there in the first place? Yeah. All right. Brian?
Okay. It's going to be Owens and Zayn winning.
Okay.
But here's what's going to happen. The whole match, Brian and Shane are going to essentially conspire as referees to ensure that Owens and Zayn can't win. Like, they do everything in their power to make sure that these guys are completely blunted. They can't do anything. Nothing can happen. Somehow, one of the two referees, I'm going to say Daniel, gets knocked out. And something happens to where the other referee gets confused and maybe just can't see or doesn't know what's happening and accidentally does a three count to win the match for Owens and Zayn, not realizing what he has done.
Can you boil that down to something?
Okay.
A little bit more, you know.
Okay. Owens and Zayn win due to botched referees' interference. How's that?
That's there it is.
Yeah.
That works.
And now who's going to wind up staring?
It's going to be Orton because they want to keep Nakamura strong.
Okay. Shane?
Sammy and Owens will win with Orton staring. I won't use a wild card because I'm not too sure about my wild card yet.
Okay. And now to the United States Triple Threat match, where we have the champion Baron Corbin facing off against Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. 2 points. Who wins and who stares at the
pretty lights?
There's the stat boy we love.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I'm also trying to keep my father not from waking up right now.
That's cool. Well, here, this one is actually quite easy. Baron Corbin will win, and Ziggler will stare because I believe this may be Ziggler's last match. I've heard rumors he gone.
And it's a copy pasta here, Jason. Corbin is going to win. Dolph will be staring. Even if Roode wins, Dolph will be staring. Even if Ziggler wins, Ziggler will be staring. So, Shane?
I don't know. This one's hard. I would take a wild shot at Ziggler winning, but I'm not that stupid. I'm going to say new U.S. champion, Bobby Pinn Ziggler.
Okay, Brian?
I'm going to say the same thing. Rude pins Ziggler.
So if Ziggler wins, that's egg on all our faces.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Now to what will be this sort of main event. AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal. Who wins?
There is no way they are putting the belt back on Jinder Mahal, especially after AJ and Brock, which was just outstandingly good. Okay.
All right. As for me, this one's actually a fair bit tougher than you would think. Because I know nobody in the right mind would put it back on Mahal. The problem is, Vince McMahon is never in his right mind. But, to be honest, I think Jinder will win it back. But it's not here. He will win it back before the Rumble. Because of some sort of underhanded shenanigans, even if the Singh brothers don't wind up coming back to his aid. He will still get it back so that what he can hold on to it till Mania and then goodbye, Mahal. So Styles wins here, though his days are numbered. They're very numbered.
You really think so? Okay.
It scares me, but they're numbered. Because he was supposed to be a two-time champ by Mania. So yeah. Brian?
AJ is going to win, but it's going to be a great match, but none with you. They are not going to, they are not about to put the belt right back on Mahal. It's just not going to happen.
Did I just hear right back Mahal?
No. I said right back on Mahal. Look, guys, my accent
you're
isn't
fine,
that
you're fine.
Thick, okay?
You're fine. It's just seeing that, having that metal image just makes me want to laugh.
Feed me.
Curry.
Yes.
Thanks, Tugboat. All right. And Shane, let's wrap this up.
I'll wrap it up the best way I know how. Wacky wild card. AJ Styles is going to win, but he will not win the segment because we're going to close out with Shinsuke Nakamura Kinshasa-ing AJ Styles' head off, thus giving us Shinsuke Nakamura heel turn.
Okay, that's actually wacky, but I could see it happen. Especially if they're actually wanting to put Shinsuke in there. That would be pretty nice. All right.
Well, it'd be a nice build up for his supposed Royal Rumble win that's going to happen.
Yeah. All right. So with that, that's everything.
And of course, you will post this on our Facebook page.
Yes, indeed.
And it will close at, I believe, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, the pickups.
It's going to be your standard one-hour pre-show. So, yes, 7 o'clock or 6 or 7 o'clock Eastern. I forget which one.
Yes, and we will have results of that on next week's show. But before we go, in the words of our good friend Nikki Heyman, we have to sell some. So, before we do that, Shane, the obligatory plug for Supercards, please.
Come join Supercards today, guys, because we've got Road to Glory happening right now where you can win a Titan Bray Wyatt and a Titan Braun Strowman. In fact, if you have played Road to Glory, you'll notice that the whole Wyatt family are the top four cards.
Cool. Josh, do you have anything?
Outside of Jason Paradise on Twitch, seriously, go follow him. He's an amazing, amazing personality on there. I mean, he plays Guitar Hero, which might not be everybody's cup of tea, but his personality just shines. Hmm. And we could use more of that.
Brian, your usual plugs, please.
Got lots of stuff to plug this week. Number one, Out of the Archive by Ben Manott, the outoftheArchive.com, pop culture ephemera at its very finest. Musical Hell by Christine Easterly, reviewed the Beauty and the Beast Christmas movie recently. Great stuff there. Check that out on the YouTube. Lazy Game Reviews, great stuff there as usual. Let's see, what else do I usually plug? One more thing to plug. I'm going to be seeing a certain motion picture Sunday night after church.
Oh, that one?
Yes. I'm going to be seeing Star Wars The Last Jedi in IMAX 3D.
Ah, nice.
So if anyone spoils that movie, you're going to get it.
Here I was thinking Brian was talking about Ferdinand, but okay.
No, well, Brian, I don't want to tell you about the 30-minute long musical number in there, but that's beside the point.
I'm not listening.
You know, are you sure that's a 30-minute musical and not a 30-minute recreation of the Star Wars holiday special?
Do not!
I think Jason was more... I think Jason was more referencing the "Want to Be an Ewok Tonight" from Simpsons.
No, it's Luke be a Jedi tonight. I remember that episode.
Okay, very cool.
Just check out all those great shows, and I believe Pixelation will be back after the first of the year for our end of year reviews and catching up on all the other assorted good and plenty we missed this holiday season.
Yes, we did. And you kicked my ass, Josh.
Hi.
What a week for Tom Brady to shit the bed. Seriously, I mean, the way you were playing, there was no way I was going to win, no matter who I had, to be honest. Touch 'em All will be returning eventually. Our good friend JD Hernandez is in, he's got real life, stuff, but we will catch up on that because, some guy named Stanton went to the Yankees. There are deals going on all over the place. We had winter meetings, and Derek Jeter is looking like a total, not very competent there. Gordon and I are recording another episode of Red State, Blue State as soon as we're done here, doing it in the new format, which is kind of fun. I like that. And we're going to be talking the more Wheel of Perverts. We're going to be talking some other fun stuff. And the panel, of course, with Gordon Pepper about the UBA stuff and all the, and of course, if I don't promote our show, which is We Love to Interrupt, we're going to do a show, I believe, next Wednesday because that's the Survivor finale. And then the week after that, or at least close to the new year, is going to be the best and worst of everything as we talk about that. And the preview 2018, good Lord, the year's almost over. That's crazy. And on this show, we are going to do a show next week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Either I will be hosting or Nikki will be hosting, one of the two, I'm guessing, because I think either Nikki will be with family or around or will be here, but we will find out. And then the week after that, which is December 29th, is the Nikki Awards, where we will find the best and worst of everything of 2017, and of course, 2017's wrestling. And wrestling had a pretty good year this year overall, even with all the bumps in the road. And I want to thank my guests, Josh Statboy, thank you.
Thank you.
Brian, thank you. And of course, Shane, thank you, as always.
It's always a pleasure, Mr. Block. Thank you very much.
Yes. So let me gather my things and go into the next studio. For everyone here at Spectrum1.net, please stay warm. Please don't drink and drive during this time. And be nice to the people at the malls. They are working and the stores. Yes, that's for you, Josh. Please be nice to everybody. They're really working hard to make sure that everything is gotten under the tree for you. And the Hanukkah bush and all that good stuff. So we will see you next week here on the NAWC here on Spectrum One.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.